Hey, Marcy here, and bringing you my wonderful interview with Henry Phillips about Punching the Clown, which is now available to rent or buy in Australia. I would like to thank Henry for taking the time out to have a chat with me, and many thanks to Bill for organizing it. So please sit back, enjoy the ride, and please check out the film. It is absolutely hilarious.
She never was abused when she was younger, and her father never up and ran away. And even though her family gave her all the love she needs, somehow she's a bitch anyway.
Thanks for taking the time out to have a chat with me about your movie that is getting released in Australia. Yay!
Yeah, we're very excited about that. It's really the only other country that we're released in.
Oh, really?
We're not in the UK or Canada. It's just, we just have distribution in America and now Australia, which I've never been to, but I've just heard so many great things about it, and I've got pals that have careers out there in comedy, and, it sounds like this amazing place where everybody's got a great sense of humor and comedy does really well.
Well, I'd like to think that we do. I'm in Melbourne, and the Melbourne International Comedy Festival is on right now.
Yeah, I have friends that are there right now, too.
Yeah, it should be good. I'm hoping I can go see some cool stuff. Good timing with the release of the movie at the with the comedy festival on.
Yeah, I guess that's, I wonder if that helps us.
I hope so. It's I've seen the movie a few times now, and it's really, really good. It's really funny. I don't think it doesn't lose anything in multiple viewings because I'm still laughing my ass off.
Oh, that's very nice to hear.
I guess there are readers or listeners that come to my website. They might not know much about it. So what can you, I mean, in your opinion, what can you tell us about it?
It's a collection of stories that have happened to me in my struggle of trying to be a comedian, both on the road and in Los Angeles. And I tend to have a little bit of a dry personality and sort of a relaxed way of dealing with things, and that's often not the ideal personality to have in a place like L.A., and so I just kind of get trampled upon and have all these mishaps with a record label, and I wind up losing all my stuff and then finding, being attracted to girls and then not being able to follow through with it, I guess it's just a comedian being punched, therefore the title. But all the stories really happened. The director and I have been friends for a long time, and I used to tell him these stories about being a comedian, and he was always like, "Man, we have to make a movie about this stuff. You know, we have to tell these stories and act them out and on the screen." And so it took a very long time, but eventually the technology was such that we could actually do it, finance it. He basically just took his life savings, basically, and borrowed some money and everything, credit cards, and we were able to make the movie. And he hasn't made any of his money back, maybe a little bit. It trickles in. But we're very happy with the movie, and that's what the whole point was.
Did it seem like the natural thing to do to actually have it have that documentary type feel? It seems to really work for, I guess, your stories. Was that something you guys had always planned on doing?
Originally it was sort of a mockumentary.
Yeah.
Meaning that it was never going to be a documentary, but I think by the time we actually were going to make this movie, we noticed that there was just too much of that. You know, it was already done perfectly with Spinal Tap, and then there were so many movies afterward that the mockumentary format didn't work. But we wanted elements of it. You know, we liked the idea of voiceover over nice images of being on the road or whatever. And, of course, the fact that we don't have a huge budget is always going to make it look a little bit like a documentary, too. But so we dropped the documentary format, but I guess we kept elements of it, maybe intentionally or not, but we just kind of, that's the way we always envisioned it. There's the movie Lenny. I don't know if you ever saw that with Lenny. It was Lenny Bruce. It was Dustin Hoffman. But that was a big inspiration to the director. It comes off as a documentary, but it's really not.
It feels like one of the most uncomfortable documentaries.
That's great. Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
I have to ask, there is a scene where you you do this really quick interview and then this whole story gets printed in the paper that makes you out to be this monster. How truthful is that to what actually, like, did that actually happen?
That's the one part of the film that never happened. when we were trying to string together all these true stories and make them funny, and then we just ditched the documentary format, now we are faced with having to actually have a plot. And so that was the plot that we came up with. And so it was just, I mean, the incident with the bagels really did happen. It was donuts originally, and I was talking to this guy who was a manager, and there was a lull in the conversation that was uncomfortable, and so I just said, these are great donuts, where did you get them? And he's like, I don't know, let me find out. And he gets on the phone with his secretary, and he starts berating her for not knowing where they're from, and he was kept saying, my name, Henrik Phillips, is here, and he wants to know where the damn bagels are, or the donuts. And I was embarrassed. So, and the story really ended there, but then we thought, well, how funny would that be if it was some big rumor that started about me through Hollywood because of this dumb situation. And so we changed it to bagels and then made it look like it was an anti-Semitic, connotation. So,
yeah, that was funny.
me getting branded as a racist and run out of town, that didn't actually happen.
Well, I'm glad that didn't happen, but having that story printed, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm sure that actually does happen quite often. And
I know it's happened to comedians. I mean, obviously, every once in a while, there's a comedian who gets on videotape saying something awful. Mm. But what's terrible is that every once in a while, like TMZ or something will quote a comedian and talk about how racist their act was, but the comedian doesn't have the ability to show their act to defend themselves and say that it was satirical or a coincidence or whatever, it being misinterpreted. So that kind of stuff really does happen.
Yeah.
At that time that we were writing the script, there was all this, you know, Mel Gibson and this guy Dog the Bounty Hunter out here, all these other people that were just getting busted left and right for doing racist things. So I thought, how funny would that be if I received that kind of hatred, but I never did anything.
Yeah, it really works well, I thought. I mean, seeing as this is comedy festival time here, I mean, with your own experiences, what advice do you have for the comedians that are trying to break into the business?
Advice to comedians breaking into what?
Into the business of being a comedian.
Oh, into being a comedian. the way that I did it is I went up every single night. I mean, for 5 years, I literally, if I wasn't performing in either an open mic night or a booked show, then I was probably watching a show. But somehow or another, I was out every single night. And because if you do it, you know, every, you might do it 20 times and nothing better happens, but all of a sudden that 20th time, something magical happens or something great. Somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I'd like you to do my show, which is better than the ones that you're doing. Then that can really help. So the idea is to try to get all those numbers in as soon as possible. You know, you just have to go up as much as possible. That's the main thing. And also, when I first started, I had all these people coming up to me and saying, that was great. Where are you performing again? We'd like to go watch you. And I guess that it, for a little while, a few years later, that stopped happening. And I had to question. I was like, well, why aren't people coming up to me and saying that? And I had to go back and look at my act and change things up. So that's another thing, is if people aren't coming up to you and saying, hey, I thought you were really funny, then you have to question what you're doing and make it better, you know.
And I guess we'll end off our little chat with there's word that this is getting developed into a TV series.
Yeah. We're in development now.
Well, I mean, what can you tell us about it? How did that happen?
Well, somebody saw the movie at a festival, liked it, and then they talked about, well, let's pitch it as a show. And Sarah Silverman, who's a friend of mine, saw the movie, and she wanted to make it happen, too. She even said, you know, that we went to a pitch meeting, and she was like, you guys are crazy for not doing it, you know, a TV series about this. And so we made the deal, and then we wrote a script and cut the movie into, like, a half-hour episodic show just that they could use as sort of a demo. And now we're just waiting to hear if Showtime is going to okay us having a whole series about Punching the Clown, which would be amazing.
I hope so. I think it would actually work really well in that format. So, yeah, okay. Best of luck. I hope that goes ahead. I think we're almost out of time, so I'll wrap it up. Thank you so much. It was a real pleasure to talk to you and chat about the movie. I'm definitely promoting it as much as possible, so, yeah, hopefully it gets a good audience in Australia.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Well, thank you very much.
I'm back. Captain Chaotic. We have a special guest, our second hour together, Henry Phillips, live here in the studio. He's whacked, and we love this guy. Why? Well, let's take a little listen to his homemade demo CD and find out.
He's the kid in the back of the class who always keeps to himself, and the other kids call him Quasimodo because he got some hunch upon his back.
Hey, sir, or captain, hey, I just wanted to give you a heads up. This song actually has the word shit in it.
Oh, ooh.
Is that going to be a problem?
Or? Oh, I don't mind it, but the government might.
It's about a minute away.
Please don't laugh at him. Don't even crack a joke. Don't blow your spitwads in his face or piss in his coke. Cause someday he might come to school with a snub nose 38. And if you're nice to him, then just maybe he won't kill you.
Can you bleep it out?
We don't have technology. Tell you what I can do. When it gets near that word, you point to me, I'll push this button up. And then you say poop or crap or something like that.
Oh, okay. Just yell into the mic.
Say it loud to cover the other one.
And if you see the fat kid walking through the halls and he's got plaid pants, don't say, hey, look, everybody, looks like someone stole my couch.
Just say poop or crap or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They like those words.
All right.
And his hair's all filled with shit.
Shit. Oh, fuck. Oh, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, that sucked.
That was mostly my fault, I think.
Oh, I think that was all your fault.
Yeah.
That's going to cost somebody some money.